Hey everyone, Tom here, along with our usual announcement of merch and posters and cool stuff being available on our shop, that's beneathskinshop.com. Also, since this is an unlocked episode, have a cool announcement that on Sunday, the 21st of April, so that's a little over a week from now, we will be hosting our first ever live show. We kept this under wraps until quite close to the show, just because tickets are super limited. We're going to be talking about some early 20th century Japanese tattoo flash tattoos, some interesting stuff. So if you're a tattoo artist, there's going to be some cool stuff that you'll get to see there. Check it out. Tickets, like I said, are super limited, and we're doing this in conjunction with Leather Lane Tattooing in Holborn. So if you want to come along next Sunday, it's at 3 p.m. at Leather Lane Tattoo. All the details are on Eventbrite, and the link is in the description. Anyway, hope you enjoyed this episode, and talk to you soon.
I mean, again, it's a decade before Fakir becomes Fakir publicly. It's 4 or 5 years before the tattoo renaissance of Lyle Tuttle, who of course Davy Jones apprenticed under or worked with. So,
and also, like, bear in mind, LaVey also only founded the Church of Satan like a year before in 66.
Amazing, yeah. So I just think, you know, this feels like a path not taken, it's the conversations that, you know, we're still having, I'm still having as an author trying to get stuff published about tattooing, you know, it's a conversation we're still having 50 years later, but I'm just absolutely, 60 years later, I was absolutely amazed when I saw this. So that's the first one that I want to talk about. The second one is just, the story's a bit more well known in a way, but the detail might not be. You've seen a book, right? Oh, I've just mentioned it earlier on, called The Tattooists by Albert Morse. On the cover, there's a big tattoo of a huge squid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, done by Ed Hardy. If you Google that, Google The Tattooists by Albert Morse, so you can see.
I'm looking at it.
You'll know that you've seen that tattoo, right? Presumably,
yep.
Before.
Mm-hmm.
This absolutely incredible kind of back piece, sort of full back piece down onto the legs of a big red squid, done by Ed Hardy on a guy called Andrew John Leems. I think it's pronounced Leems, L-E-M-E-S. It may be Lemis, but we'll call him Leems. Known to his friends as John, and. We'll get into this. So, Leems was a doctor. He was quite young. He'd graduated in the late 60s looking to go into a specialism in psychiatry. Let me bring this up. There we go. So, he was from Pennsylvania, I think I'm right in saying. Sorry, I didn't have the right document open here. There we go. So yeah, so he's from Pennsylvania, and he was fairly young. This story takes place about a decade after the one we were just talking about, in the mid to late 70s. So yeah, Andrew John Leems, known to his friends as John, he graduated from the University of Missouri School of Medicine and began a residency in psychiatry. He graduated in 1973, so he was, you know, fairly kind of young, fairly recent graduate when he started getting tattooed by Hardy. He talked in a much later interview, actually, or sort of brief interview with him about having been tattooed for over 100 hours, by Hardy, and he got very close to Ed over the course of getting tattooed extensively. And, you know, one of the interesting things, I think, to come back to that episode we did about the Tattoo the Earth tour, is what happens when someone who's not from tattooing, not from the world of tattooing, thinks that you fall in love with it hard and deep and quick, and think that they have the insight to change it, to bring to it something that was missing. So basically, yeah, Leems had over 24 sessions of tattooing. He spent over $10,000 of 1970s dollars on his back piece. And talking to Ed and chatting to Ed for a long time, he basically worked out or decided, realized that, like, oh, hey, why is there no information out there about tattooing? I'm an academic. I'm a scholarly man. I'm a doctor. I want to know more about tattooing. How do I find out more about it? And he realizes that there's no, you know, something that, again, I was realizing later on, there's no books about it. There's nothing in the library. There's no kind of information, because all the information is held by the industry. So he decides he's going to write the Encyclopedia of Tattooing. And the draft manuscript for this, some of which is in Paul's collection now, the Body Piercing Archive collection, is over 1,300 pages of information.
People call us long-winded.
Well, collected, he had the help, he had the help of Sailor Sid Diller, who's also come up on this show before, a tattooer from Florida. Leems was gay, and, you know, knew Sid through piercing as well. So Sid was helping him out, and they basically sort of took it upon themselves to get any information they could find that had been published. And this is something that I do now by using Google Scholar, right, and using, you know, digitized libraries, interlibrary loans, and everything. They actually just physically wrote to, like, the Library of Congress and the Smithsonian and every university they could think of, and got sent copies and copies and copies of, like, basically, like, a huge bibliography of information on tattooing, none of which actually was new to me, because, you know, I've found it all, and others before me have found it all, in the modern era. But this was all basically found manually. I mean, it would have saved, as I said, me lots and lots of work had this been published in 1978. Right. So this project is enormous, and the task of compiling it goes on for years, like starting in about 1976, and going on through into the 1980s, early 1980s, although there's a sort of break point, as we'll get to, at the end of the 70s. The project is astonishing. So maybe the first thing to read out to you, well, the first thing I'll read out to you is an extract of a letter that I will return to that Leems sends to Sailor Sid about why he wants to do the book, right? So he says, where are we? Right. He points out, right, that there's no information that is available, right? And so this is going to be an exhaustive treatise to stand for decades and research source on tattooing and a tattoo aficionado Bible. Now that Spalding and Rogers is advertising in Drummer, the gay magazine in San Francisco, S&M magazine, I feel we have a perfect right to write what we were writing. Only the artless will complain, because we will take great care to be diplomatic in all of our chapters that define the art form. Then he says, only if false ideas are exposed can tattooing artistry advance. For instance, glass blowers were similarly afraid of having their craft secrets exposed. Books were written recently which did just that, and their artistry cannot be learned by mere verbal description. So he basically sort of says, even though many of the tattooers he's spoken to says, no, we're not telling you how this is done. This is trade secrets. This is stuff that we don't share with the general public. Around the same time in the UK magazines, the same conversations happening. We talked a bit about it in relation to Rudy Inhelder's magazine as well. Like, tattooers were partly for kind of, you know, ethical reasons, and also partly just to protect their own business for kind of, you know, bottom line reasons, very reticent to share information about how to do tattooing with non-specialists. And
I mean, even with each other as well, like that classic case of like other. Sailor Jerry, like having wrong flash.
Yeah, oh, we'll come to Sailor Jerry, Tom. In fact, I'll come to him in a second. I'll come to him next.